Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Star Wars: The New Rebellion by Christine Catherine Rush. He stood on the highest point on the planet of Almania, the roof of a tower built by the once powerful Jehar. The tower was in ruins, the roof littered with debris from ancient battles. From here, though, he could see his city. A thousand lights spread before him, the streets empty except for droids and the ever-present guards. An icy wind rippled his black cloak. The death's head mask he had worn since destroying the Jehar hung on a silver chain around his neck. Above him, the stars winked. Hard to believe worlds existed there. Worlds he would control. Soon. He tilted his head back and closed his eyes. No explosion this time, no bright flare of light. Skywalker had told him of the moment Alderaan died. "I feel a great disturbance in the Force," the old man had said. At least that's what Skywalker had told him. This disturbance would not be as great. But Skywalker would feel it. So would his sister. The young Jedi would feel it too, and they would know that the balance of power had shifted. But they wouldn't know that power had shifted to him. To Queller, master of Almania, and soon lord of all their pitiful worlds. Brakkus hated the towers. It felt as if something rattled in their walls, and once when he was in the catacombs below, he had seen a large white ghost. The stairs twisted, and he finally reached the roof. Queller did not bother to turn around. "I told you to wait below," Brakkus swallowed. "I had to know if it worked."
"You'll know when it works."
Queller's voice was a live thing. It surrounded Brakkus, resonated within him, and held him at bay. Suddenly the wind died. The air around Brakkus froze, and so did he. In that moment, he heard, felt, saw a million voices scream in terror. The terror rose in him, and he saw again that moment when Master Skywalker led him deep into his own heart. That moment when he saw himself clearly and nearly lost his mind. As the other screams exploded around him, they filled him, warming him. He felt stronger, larger, more powerful than he ever had before. He looked up. Queller had raised his arms, his head tilted back, his face uncovered for the first time in years. He laughed, a deep rumbling sound that shook the entire tower. Brakkus braced himself against the stone. It worked. Queller slipped the mask back over his face.
"Well enough."
Brakkus pushed off the wall and started toward the stairs. "I'm going back to Telti."
"Good. But you will give me the remote first."
Brakkus held out the remote. "It's slower than the controls I built you."
"Fine.
You have to set the security code. You have to instruct it which serial numbers to follow."
"Brakkus, I can operate remotes."
Brakkus moved out of the cold wind. "What do you want from me when I return to Telti?"
"Skywalker, the great Jedi Master, Luke the Invincible Skywalker."
Queller's voice thrummed with the depth of his hatred. The chill had reached Brakkus' heart. "What do you plan to do with him?"
"Destroy him. The person who kills the great Jedi Luke Skywalker becomes the strongest in the galaxy."
Luke Skywalker was balanced on one hand, his fingers deep in the moist jungle earth. Sweat dripped down his naked back onto his face and off his nose and chin.
R2-D2 floated in the air above him, along with several boulders and a half-rotted tree. A group of Luke's students were gathered around him. He had been in this position since the huge orange sphere of the gas planet Yavin rose on the horizon of its fourth moon, yet he didn't feel tired or thirsty. The force flowed through him like cool water, holding R2, the boulders, and the tree aloft. Suddenly, a wave of emotion slammed into him, cold, hard, and filled with terror. Mixed with terror and pain was the shock of betrayal, a shock multiplied by the millions of minds who felt it. R2 screamed as he shot across the sky, the sound mingling with the screams in Luke's mind. His arm collapsed beneath him, and he tumbled to the ground. He lay on his back, the screams still echoing in his mind.
Master Skywalker?
One of his students bent over him.
What happened, Master Skywalker?
He pushed himself up on his elbows. 1 million people died a moment ago, all in great pain and with great suddenness. A vast evil had returned to the galaxy, and it threatened Leia. For now, the days of teaching were over. He and R2 had to leave immediately for Coruscant. Leia Organa Solo, chief of state of the New Republic, adjusted the belt on her long white gown. She took a deep breath. She didn't look much different from the girl who had walked into the Imperial Senate filled with hope and idealism. Princess Leia Organa of Alderaan, the youngest senator, the one who believed that persuasion and reason would save the Old Republic. The one who lost her idealism the moment she stared into Senator Palpatine's ruined face. Mon Mothma knew what was troubling her.
They're members of the New Republic now, Leia. They were elected fairly.
Several planets had petitioned the Senate to allow former Imperials to serve as representatives, arguing that some of the best politicians had kept their peoples alive by working with the Empire as minor functionaries. They were petty bureaucrats who had saved dozens of rebel lives by overlooking strange troop movements or unusual faces in the crowds. But still, Leia felt this law was wrong.
They're going to destroy all we work for, she said.
Mon Mothma took Leia's arm.
You don't know that. Someday we must move beyond the rebellion and into true government. Part of that, Leia, is accepting those who lived under the Empire but did not serve it.
Leia straightened, a leader once more.
All right, let's get on with this.
Mon Mothma did not move toward the door.
One more thing. Remember that whatever tone you set in the opening remarks of this Senate will be the focus of the debate for years to come.
I know. Leia reached for the door.
When a wave of deep cold smashed into her, she froze. Voices screamed. Then she saw a face, a white face, with black, empty eyes, like the death's mask she had seen in a museum on Alderaan in her youth. Luke!
Leia freed herself from Mon Mothma's hold and headed toward the communications control. She contacted Yavin 4, only to be told Luke was in his X-wing.
Leia, what is it?
Mon Mothma asked. Leia didn't answer. She waited to be patched into Luke's X-wing. Soon his voice filled the room.
Leia?
He sounded as if he had been worried, too. I'm fine, Luke, she said, relief filling her.
I'm coming to you. Wait for me.
You felt it too, didn't you? What was that?
I'll be there soon, Leia.
He signed off. She wasn't ready for him to disappear so soon. She needed him. Something awful had happened. Something like the destruction of Alderaan. Han sat in the back corner of the smoke-filled room. He hadn't been in this casino since before he married Leia, when he won the planet Dathomir in a game of Sabacc. The air smelled of damp decay mixed with smoke and alcohol. A mediocre band played Tatooine blues. All around him, conversation rose and fell with the fortunes at the Sabacc tables. He clutched the pale blue geezer ale and turned to his companion. I don't believe you came to Coruscant just to buy me a drink, Yaril. Yaril was a small man with narrow shoulders and a face scarred from years of harsh living. Yaril shrugged. I didn't. He downed one green drink, coughed, and wiped his mouth.
I want help, Hannah. People are dying, good people.
I didn't think you knew any good people, Yarrow.
I know you.
You think someone's threatening me?
No.
Yarrow looked over his shoulder.
Leia? No.
Yarrow scooted his chair closer.
Look, Han. Anyone in the business with brains has made a fortune in the last few months.
Smuggler's Run isn't the same place anymore. It all seemed wonderful at first. Then a few runners didn't come back. Stand-up folks like you and Calrissian. Han suppressed a smile. In the old days, he and Lando had been considered odd because they occasionally helped another smuggler in distress.
So I was thinking, you know, maybe you and Chewie could see what's going on. You're the only ones I know who can go between Smuggler's Run and the Republic, no questions asked.
What about Lando? Talon Card, Mara Jade.
Card doesn't want anything to do with this.
Jade's been with Calrissian, and you know Nandreessen's had a price on Calrissian since the days of the Empire. Han sighed. How come you don't go after this yourself? Yarrow took a deep breath.
Because I'm in too deep, Han.
Way too deep.
The Chamberlain pulled open the door to the Senate Hall as the heralds announced Leia. Reporters from dozens of worlds crowded the visitor's balcony near the fragmented crystal segments in the ceiling. Leia walked down the stairs to the podium. The applause slowly faded.
My fellow senators, we begin a new chapter in the history of the Republic. The war with the Empire is long over, and finally we have extended the hand of friendship.
An explosion rocked the chamber, flinging Leia into the air. She flew backward and slammed onto a desk. Blood and shrapnel rained around her. Smoke and dust rose, filling the room with a grainy darkness. She could hear nothing. The explosion had affected her eardrums. She crouched, hands over her head to protect herself. Small pebbles pelted her, and the floor shivered as large chunks of tile fell. Within an instant, the hall had gone from a place of ceremonial comfort to a place of death. The image of the Death's Head mask rose in front of her again, this time from memory. She had known this was going to happen. Somewhere, from some part of her force-sensitive brain, she had seen this.
Luke was shocked to see how full the medical center near the Imperial Palace was. Wounded waited in reception areas while medical personnel found beds for them or moved them to more specialized wings. Familiar faces, some gray with pain, others so scarred he could barely recognize them, looked away from him. Luke had gotten the statistics when he landed. 25 senators dead, 100 more wounded seriously, and another 100 bruised. That didn't count the support personnel or all the destroyed droids. As he strode through the hallway to the recovery area, someone grabbed his leg. He looked down to see his nephew Anakin clinging to his thigh. Anakin's blue eyes were tear-streaked. Uncle Luke. The twins Jason and Jaina were running toward him, looking as ravaged as Anakin. Luke gathered the children around him. Hey, guys.
Something came into our nursery, Uncle Luke,
Jaina said. Her small face was a replica of Leia's, with sincere brown eyes and a small, purposeful mouth.
It was cold, and it yelled with 1,000 voices, and it hit us all at once.
As he had suspected, they felt the deaths, just as he had, as Leia had.
The whole building shook,
Jason said,
and Mother nearly died.
The children were onto something. The deaths happened, and a short time later, an explosion occurred in the Senate Hall. If the events weren't related, then that was a startling coincidence. And the older he got, the less Luke believed in coincidence. Leia's bed was at the far end of a large room in which 5 other senators lay, separated by curtains. Han sat beside her while Chewbacca stood at the foot of the bed. Han stood when he saw his brother-in-law. Luke, Leia's been asking about you. She turned her head on its pillow. Her face was a mass of bruises and cuts. Even though she had clearly been in the Bacta tank, she still wore bandages on her hands, indicating serious injuries that needed several more treatments.
Oh, Luke!
Leia's voice was unusually loud.
I'm glad you're here.
Luke sat beside the bed.
Me too.
She frowned slightly. Han explained. I don't think she understood you. They say her hearing will come back in a few days. It was the strength of the explosion.
What do you think happened? Luke asked.
An old buddy of mine surfaced at a convenient time, Han said. I was with Yarrow in the casino when the explosion happened.
A decoy? To keep you away?
Maybe. I tried to find him afterwards, but he was gone.
Any idea where he went?
Han shook his head. His ship was gone, too, and no one saw it leave, which I find odd. Yarrow's ship is distinctive. He took the Falcon's design and crossed it with an A-wing.
Luke sat forward. I saw that ship. The defenses were up when I got here, but when the shields lifted, it shot out as if it had been waiting for the chance.
Leia chimed in too loudly.
This means nothing. It was the Imperials.
They have new members in the Senate. It would be just like them to destroy something they had gained.
Luke suppressed a sigh.
Let's see what the experts turn up.
Maybe once we know what hit the hall, we'll be better informed.
The ship hung in space. Lando Calrissian peered out the cockpit of the Lady Luck. He had only seen one other stock-light freighter that so closely resembled the Falcon, and that had been the Spicy Lady. He hailed the ship, his heart pounding.
Spicy Lady, this is Lady Luck. Are you in distress? Over.
No response. The ship looked abandoned. But Yarrow had invested his personal fortune in the Spicy Lady. He'd never let her drift. Lando scanned the Spicy Lady for life signs. None. She was dark. The Spicy Lady had fully rigged slave circuits, and Lando was able to link the ship's internal holocams to the Lady Lux and survey the interior. Yarrow floated, his body bumping against the controls, the viewport, the ceiling, the floor. Judging from the hole in his chest, he had been shot at very close range. Lando rigged up the rest of the slave circuitry. He'd towed the Spicy Lady to his mining operation on Kessel, and then inspect the interior himself. Maybe he could see what Yarrow had been into. Luke stood in the double doorway and peered into the Senate hall. Sunlight poured through a hole in the collapsing roof. Most of the voting desks were covered with stone and shattered crystal. The floor was a mass of debris. The cleanup hadn't started because Leia wanted to wait until the investigation was underway. At this moment, she was meeting with the Senate to discuss the details of both the official investigation and the independent one that several of the new senators had demanded. Luke had decided to do some investigating on his own. Several things bothered him. Leia's insistence on the involvement of former Imperials, Han's strange conversation with the missing smuggler, and most importantly, the disturbance in the Force that Luke, Leia, and the Solo children had felt. Luke stepped inside. A chill pervaded the air. It was the same kind of chill he had felt on Yavin 4, the chill of so many lives senselessly taken. He closed his eyes, let the Force flow through him, and felt for the coldness. Voices swirled around him, remembered voices calling for help, shouting instructions, shouts for friends, wails of the dying, pockets of cold. He opened his eyes. Not one large explosion. Several small explosions had detonated all at once in this room. Rubble fell from the ceiling, clattering onto the ruined floor. He turned and accidentally stepped into one of the pockets of coldness. And he felt the taint of a presence. A former student. Brakkis.
Leia's long hair flowed down her back. She was brushing it steadily with her newly healed hands.
The last dip in the Bacta tank had done it. Han sat on the edge of their bed, wishing she would face him. "Look, sweetheart, I'm only asking for a week." She didn't miss a stroke.
"We're in the middle of a crisis here, Han, and you want to go off and play with the boys."
"I don't want to play, Leia. I think Jarl's visit is connected to all this."
"And I don't."
He put his hands over hers. "Leia, I'm useless here."
"You're never useless, Han.
I've already done all I can do here. I followed Jarl's trail. He left with the last wave of ships and all the confusion."
"What if there's another attack, Han? I'm concerned about the children.
Senator Rayet thinks the attack was meant for me or my family," she sighed. "Winter says the base at Anoth has been rebuilt. Maybe we should send them there with her." Han looked at her intently.
"You're the one in the greatest danger. Maybe you should go with Winter and the children to Anoth."
She lifted her head.
"I can't do that. I have duties here. I have to take the same risks as the rest of the government."
He knew. He had to take risks, too. Protecting him and forcing him to remain on Coruscant would be as bad as making Leia go to Anoth. He waited, then watched the realization dawn on her face.
"You've manipulated me,"
he nodded. She wrapped her arms around him, pulling him close.
"Don't you wish that just once we could live calmly and comfortably like normal people?"
"No." He leaned back just far enough so that he could see her face. "Because if we had been normal people, we would never have met, Your Highnessness." Jarl's ship was a treasure trove of unusual junk. Lando had towed the Spicy Lady to Kessel and had spent half a day exploring his old colleague's cargo, but he couldn't find any clues to what might have happened. He had almost decided to take the Spicy Lady back into space and set her free when he remembered Jarl's laugh. It had been a hearty, deep, almost choking laugh. Lando had thought Jarl was going to laugh himself to death the day he sneaked Lando out of Smuggler's Run, right under Nandreessen's nose. "I owe you," Lando had said. Jarl had grinned.
"I know, pal, and someday I'll collect big."
Lando sighed and walked to the cockpit.
"Let's see what we can do for you, Jarl."
He sat in the co-pilot's chair as far from Jarl's body as he could get. Then he logged onto the Spicy Lady's computer. A cargo manifest floated on the screen. It was dated a week earlier, and it was empty. It had clearly been erased. He went to the address files. Lando recognized all the names as smuggling contacts except for three. One was on Fraatna and hadn't been used in over 3 years. Another was on Dathomir, and the third was on Almania. He looked up the Fraatna address first. It was for a contact named Dolph, and Jarl had noted "name retired" in the hidden words section. From his examination of the system, it seemed that Jarl generally deleted unusable information. Lando made a note of the name, the out-of-date address, and continued searching. He opened the file on Almania to find that Jarl had sent a message there on the day the manifest was erased. Since the Spicy Lady was modeled on the Falcon, Lando knew that if he pushed a few buttons, he could retrieve it. Success. The message read, "Cargo delivered. Fireworks spectacular." It was followed shortly thereafter by another message. "Solo knows. We can count on his involvement." Brakkis. Luke sat on the rubble-covered stair. He wasn't willing to leave the hall, not yet, not until he had sensed all the remnants of emotion and knowledge that were there. Brakkis, one of the failures. One of the students who had turned to the dark side. Brakkis was one of the handful of Imperials who had tried to infiltrate the Jedi Academy. Unlike the others, he had a true talent for the Force. Their training went well. Brakkis softened, and Luke thought it time to give him the equivalent of the dark cave on Dagobah. He sent the student on a journey to face himself. Brakkis emerged, terrified and angry. He left Yavin 4 and went back to the Empire. Luke knew that one day he would see Bracchus again. He had feared it would be like this.
Master Luke! Master Luke! Oh, thank heavens we found you.
3PO's voice cut through Luke's reverie. The protocol droid stood in the door with R2 at his side. Luke went over.
Master Luke, R2 and I had a dreadful experience in the maintenance bays. We were taken prisoner by this horrible Cloperian, who seemed to have no idea who we are.
Cloperians were short, squat, gray creatures, with a series of hands attached to tentacled limbs running along their sides like filaments. Their physical makeup and their mechanical talents made them the best engineers and mechanics in the Republic. 3PO continued,
I wouldn't have brought this to you, sir, but R2 insisted. He said you needed to know.
A compartment opened near R2's base and a small tube arm emerged. Luke held out his hand and R2 dropped several tiny chips into it. Luke crouched and examined them. These are the X-Wing's memory chips. 3PO translated.
The X-Wing is in pieces, sir.
The oily metallic smell of the maintenance bay made Luke nostalgic for the days he used to spend repairing his uncle's speeder on Tatooine. The main bay was empty except for several disassembled X-Wings. A young blonde man, a boy, really, in mechanic's clothing, sauntered out of the back. He was wiping his hands on a cloth when he saw Luke.
This is a restricted area.
I know, Luke said. I was sent by orders and requisitions. Apparently you have my X-Wing down here. It's not supposed to be here. I just wanted regular maintenance.
You need to take that up with orders.
R2 moved closer.
Your astromech unit shouldn't be here either, you know.
I know, but I need my X-Wing today. R2 works it with me.
Didn't you see the memo from General Antilles?
Wedge? What had Wedge to do with Luke's X-Wing, Luke wondered. Apparently not.
Routine maintenance includes upgrading all X-Wings to current clean fighter status.
The boy frowned.
Where did you say you came from?
I didn't. Where can I find Wedge?
The boy gasped at Luke's forwardness.
General Antilles?
I don't know. I've never spoken to the man.
Do you know him?
Luke grinned. We were in the same squadron at the Battle of Yavin.
The boy dropped his rag.
Forgive me, sir. I had no idea. I can leave a message for him on the system.
I can contact him myself if you just lead me to my ship.
Sir, the area is restricted.
We've been through this before. My name is Luke Skywalker. All I want is to see the state of my X-Wing and...
Luke Skywalker? The Jedi Knight? Why didn't you say so in the first place, sir?
It's not the Jedi way to take unfair advantage, Luke said, although this wasn't precisely true. Let's check on the X-Wing, shall we? They crossed the main bay. R2 followed. Luke looked around.
Tell me what you're doing here. General Antilles' orders came down last year, sir, after the prototype of the new X-Wing arrived. The new design works better in battle. It combines the computer system and the astromech unit into one complete system.
He stopped in front of a maintenance platform. The X-Wing on it was almost unrecognizable as a starfighter. Luke bit back his irritation. How long will it take to reassemble the ship?
They just started on the computer system, sir. We can't have it to you for another day, maybe more. I can give you a substitute, X-Wing, but it'll be one of the new ones.
Will R2 fit in the new X-Wing?
The boy shook his head. It's strictly a one-person vehicle.
Luke sighed. He didn't like his choices, but he wanted to be in a starfighter, so he had speed and the ability to enter into planetary defenses unnoticed. He turned to the boy.
You'll work with my astromech unit. R2-D2 knows that X-Wing better than anyone. I want it fixed by the time I return.
He's an outmoded R2 unit, sir. No. He's a hero of the Rebellion. Neither Leia nor I would be alive without this little guy.
What's your name, son?
The boy took a deep breath.
Cole Fardreamer.
The name made Luke start.
You're from Tatooine?
The boy nodded.
I grew up hearing stories about you, sir. How wonderful you are, and how you were once just a moisture farmer. I came here because of you.
Luke had no real sense of himself as an inspiration to anyone. And now you work on X-Wings.
It's a place to start.
Luke nodded. That it is. Take good care of my X-Wing and my R2 unit, Cole. See that nothing happens to either of them. Smuggler's Run was an asteroid belt that had, over the years, become the hideout for hundreds of smugglers. Han landed the Falcon on Skip 1, the 35th asteroid in the system and the one first settled. Skip 1 offered the best support for human life and was extremely well protected. The hideouts were deep inside the skip, carved centuries ago by creatures that Han didn't even want to think about. As he and Chewie made their way down the old familiar passages, he remembered the feeling of claustrophobia distinctly. Han nodded. Yeah, you'd think they'd have controlled that stink by now. The corridors smelled of sulfur, rancid meat, and rotting flesh. The source of the odor was a greenish-yellow ooze that ran down the center of the corridors and into the main trading areas. When Han had initially arrived on the run, he'd witnessed the first and only attempt to block the ooze. Some Bothan got it into his brain to plug the ooze at its source. He did, and Skip One was instantly rocked by the biggest ground quake in its history.
The place has gas,
the Bothan later explained.
Either we let it stink around here, or Skip One will explode.
The smugglers chose to live with the stink. They hadn't found a better hiding place in the entire galaxy. Or one better defended. Han knew that the Falcon was being watched from the moment of her approach. What he hadn't expected were the armed guards at the end of the corridor. 5 of them. All old friends. Han put a restraining hand on his friend's furry arm. Kid Zolan, bald now, had taken Han on his first run to Kessel. Jean Lafitte, his craggy face even more lined than Han remembered, had first brought Han and Chewie to the run. Sinewy Anna Blue, looking more beautiful than ever, had run the Sabacc games, in which Han won a lot of credits. Winnie, the Wookiee who had tried to seduce Chewbacca on his first visit to Skip One, looked exactly the same. And Selas, the Sulistan who usually traveled with Yarrow, clutched his blaster as if he couldn't wait to use it. Han held out his hand. Is this any way to greet an old friend? Blue glared at him.
You're no friend, Sulla.
Jean stepped forward.
So how soon until your friends in the New Republic show up to arrest us?
Have you done something illegal? Han asked.
Winnie growled.
A guy can ask a simple question,
Han shot back at her. Kid grumbled.
You left us a long time ago. You have no right to come back here.
I have as much right to be here as you do. And when did it become a privilege to be on the run? I seem to remember when most of us here were struggling to leave.
The run is a different place,
Lou said. Han looked around.
Sure smells the same.
They moved closer to him. Jean poked Han with his blaster.
What, are you going to push me all the way back to the Falcon, or shoot me right here?
Han grabbed Selas's blaster and pulled the short humanoid toward him.
I'm here on the invite of your partner, buddy. You want to bring him over here?
Selas let go of the blaster and chittered loudly and angrily.
Hey, how was I to know he's not here? I figured he was coming right back.
Chewbacca grabbed Selas by his collar, lifting him off the ground.
He's got a point,
Jean said.
Yadu went to see you and never came back. Now you're here.
Selas was swinging wildly with his arms and legs. Kid Zolan looked at Han accusingly.
You came here because Yadu told you about the money.
Selas tried to swing at Chewie. Chewie held him over the ooze and dropped him. Selas landed, splashing ooze everywhere, doubling the stench. He sprang out and yanked his blaster out of Han's grasp.
Hey!
Han shouted. Chewie grabbed for the blaster, but it was too late. Selas fired. The shot ricocheted off the blaster-resistant wall. Han leapt out of the way, but not quickly enough. The shot nicked his buttock, then bounced off the wall in front of him. All the smugglers yelled, and everyone dived for cover. The red beam of dangerous light missed Chewie, brushed Winnie, and sprinted
great gene until it finally slammed into the ooze, where it died in an explosion of foul-smelling steam. Han got up first, pulled Selas upright, and shoved him into the scorched walls.
Didn't anyone tell you that firing in an enclosed space is dangerous? You could have killed us all.
Selas raised his tiny gloved hands.
I don't care how worried you are about Yarl. You shot me.
Blue laughed.
Not very effectively. But you have convinced us you're the same old Han. Forgive us. So much has changed around here, we figured you had, too. Come on, I've got some salve that'll work wonders.
Gene put his arm around Han's shoulders and propelled him forward.
Then we can sit down and chat.
They followed the ooze into the entry chamber on Skip One. The food court stood in the center of the cavern, as far from the ooze as possible. After Han had applied some salve to his wound, they got plates of food and sat down together to eat.
So, why are you here, Solo?
Gene asked. Han told them about his last talk with Yarl. Yarl disappeared right after the bombing. That and the things he said to me made me wonder if he knew the attack was coming. Selas stood on a chair at the far end of the table, shaking his blaster for angry emphasis. Han put his hand on his own blaster. I haven't trusted this twerp since he stole the blueprints for the Falcon. I stand corrected. Since the day Lando told me this twerp stole the blueprints for the Falcon, the details don't matter, pal. The fact remains you're not honest.
None of us is, Blue said.
Blue looked at him.
Oh, please. You want me to recite what I know about the great Wookiee Chewbacca?
Point made, Han said. But I don't want Selas shooting at me again. If you can't handle that spice brain, I suggest you exit the conversation now. Selas chittered at him, but left the cavern.
Brakkus's last known address was on Mist, a small planet near the Rim Worlds that had once been a major Imperial stronghold. The Empire had theoretically abandoned the place after the Truce of Futura, but Luke knew for a fact that many Imperials still used Mist for a rendezvous. He landed unassisted in the milky white mist that had given the planet its name. The borrowed X-Wing had superb guidance powers, but they didn't make up for the loss of R2. A group of buildings emerged from the mist, tall and gray and steely. He started toward them on foot, then turned to see large pink bubbles approaching, dangling long, floating pink strands. With a large sucking sound, the mist around him vanished. A bubble three times the size of an X-Wing rose from the ground to hover over him, its strands stinging him, sending rivulets of pain through him. Each touch of the strands left his skin numb. The bubble appeared hollow inside with jagged edges like teeth. They were teeth. The bubble stung its prey, paralyzing it, then drew it up inside and chewed. Luke's lightsaber hummed on. He swung his arm upward, slicing off half a dozen strands. They fell around him like live wires, stinging every place they touched. The bubble's only reaction to his attack was to sting him harder. His body was cold and burning at the same time. He could barely get his breath, but he concentrated all of his energy in his arm into swinging the lightsaber. More strands fell around him, slapping the hard ground in eerie quiet. The gaping mouth loomed. Luke envisioned all the heat within him flowing upward and out into the center of the mouth. The creature started to float away, but Luke sent more warmth, and more. Then, with a great ear-deafening pop, it exploded, followed by a dozen other pops as the little bubbles exploded as well. Pink blobs rained around him, sizzling as they hit the ground. Some hit him, numbing him completely. He tried to build a shield around himself with the Force, but it was too late.
Leia sprawled on the center of her bed, flimsy spread before her, while she studied the results of the elections to fill the newly empty seats in the Senate.
The elections had been held quickly, just as she had planned. A few places complained that they didn't even have enough time to mobilize the electorate.
Exactly what we want,
her ally, Senator No, had said. But despite the precautions, former Imperials were voted into office on 85% of the planets. Now, thanks to the bombing, they held a simple majority in the Senate. Leia put her head down on one of the pillows, crumpling half the flimsies beneath her. She had always been a direct woman. She preferred directness in herself, in her friends. The business of politics, setting aside that directness for the correct thing to say, left her exhausted. Especially now. She could see the future of her government, and directness was not a part of it. As the former Imperials gained power, the rebels would have to tone down their language for fear of insulting their colleagues. The history of the rebellion would be changed slightly to show that the leaders of the Empire were the only ones who were corrupt. And with each subtlety came a small lie. The house computer bonged.
Madam, you have a visitor who claims that he is here with a dire emergency. He says his name is Lando Calrissian.
Lando burst through the door and glanced around, almost as if he didn't see her. Where's Han? He demanded. No, hello, Leia. How's the galaxy's most talented princess? Leia thought, and replied, He's not on Coruscant. Can I help you, Lando? Lando shook his head. You've got to find him, Leia. It's critical. A frisson of fear ran along her spine.
Tell me.
He told her about finding Yarrow's ship and handed her a copy of the message he'd accessed on the smuggler's computer. Cargo delivered. Fireworks spectacular. Solo knows. We can count on his involvement. Lando exclaimed, Yarrow was killed because of this message, and Han is mentioned.
You think Han might be next?
What do you think?
Where was it sent?
A place called Almania. Have you heard of it? Leia shook her head. Lando told her, It's on the farthest reaches of the galaxy.
Leia shuddered. We have to reach Han. We have to warn him.
Lando nodded. I'll go after him. Where'd he go?
Smuggler's Run.
Lando took a deep breath. I can't go to the run. A rather nasty character named Nandreessen has a price on my head.
Leia felt the air leave her body. If Lando couldn't go, she'd have to send someone else. But whom?
From Han's description of the run, only a select few people knew how to find it. Then Lando pushed off the couch. But that shouldn't stop me, should it? What's a few credits between friends?
Imagine me working on Luke Skywalker's X-Wing, Bold Bar Dreamer thought.
And he certainly had never done it while supervised by an outdated R2 unit. The little unit seemed to have a mind of its own and was so expressive it didn't really matter that he couldn't understand it. He had climbed behind the small cockpit and was removing the last bolt in the upgraded astrogation and hyperdrive computers. He slipped his fingers under the panel and yanked. He wasn't strong enough to pull it out. Cole tried again. The panel should have slipped out. He climbed off the X-Wing. The R2 unit bobbed in agitation.
I'll get back to it, Cole replied. It just doesn't want to come off.
But his response didn't quiet the little creature. Maybe its systems were malfunctioning. Maybe... The R2 unit bumped him aside.
Hey!
A small metal arm emerged from its cylindrical body. At the end of the arm was a mechanical claw, which attached itself to the panel and pulled.
Okay, let me check it out.
Cole peered behind the panel. A green and blue Imperial insignia stared back at him. He had seen the same thing in some of the remains on Tatooine, had watched one of his friends die by switching it on. The symbol hid a detonating device that remained inoperative until a certain command code had been entered into the system. Then it would explode. Cole glanced at the droid.
No wonder Skywalker valued this little being.
When Luke came to, a woman was looking down at him, her wrinkled features breaking into a smile. She had been beautiful once. Still was, if truth be told. Her hair was silver, her eyes bright blue.
Don't worry, she said. You'll be all right. You're lucky I have a Bacta tank.
Luke shuddered. He tried to raise his hand to see if he had any skin left, but the woman shook her head.
The more you try, the longer it will take you to recover. You're lucky I heard you land. I was hoping...
She shook her head as if she were self-censoring.
Never mind. I came to investigate and saw the Mistmakers floating around the ship. I was about to turn around when that big one exploded. Nice work, that. Those things are even resistant to blaster fire. I'd have left you there if I weren't already wearing my protective gear. Would have been nothing I could have done.
Later, when he was feeling better, Luke struggled to his feet and joined the woman in the main room. She was seated on a pile of cushions, a cup of liquid steaming beside her.
Sit, Luke Skywalker.
He started at her knowledge of his name. You know why I'm here. She nodded, her expression miserable.
My son told me you'd come.
She was Brachus's mother.
He wasn't a bad boy once, Luke Skywalker. He was this bright, wonderful baby. He fairly glowed with life. Then they came.
The Empire, she nodded.
They came into my home, looked at my boy, and decided they could use him. And they took him from me. They took something from him. You tried to give it back to him, didn't you, at that academy?
Luke was chilled. The Empire had taken Brachus away as a baby, knowing that he was Force-sensitive. No wonder he couldn't face himself. You know where he is, don't you? She nodded.
But you're a nice man, Luke Skywalker. I can't send you there. My son wants to kill you.
I know. I've been in danger before.
Not like this.
Oh, Luke Skywalker.
Not like this.